guys.
Come on, one more
go,
shot,
hustle man. Up.
Hey, yo, bring it in, y'all. Luck.
All right, that's it for today. We have a game tomorrow, so get some rest tonight. And remember, ties and jackets tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Clay. Mr. Cruz, I'm impressed with what you've done, but you came up short. You owe me 80 suicides and 500 push-ups. Please leave my gym. Thanks, Clyde. Gentlemen, see you tomorrow.
I'll do push-ups for him. You said we're a team. One person struggles, and we all struggle. One player triumphs, we all triumph, right?
I'll do some. I'll run suicides, too.
I do some too.
Fine. Let's keep count. Call me when they're done.
Well, does that help to define what a team is? How does it do with defining what the body of Christ is supposed to be? The book of Judges has properly been called the Dark Ages of the Bible. No question about it. There's a lot of very unhappy stories in Judges. Sunday school class has started it, and Roger knows his Bible. Knows his Bible well. And I'm going to try a little ESP right here, because I didn't talk about this with you. But I think that as he approached this month, and the book of Judges, he thought, oh boy, we're not going to have some rollicking, smiley classes in this one. This is going to be depressing. But it starts out on a brighter light. Judges chapter 1. After the death of Joshua, the Israelites inquired of the Lord, who will be the first to fight for us against the Canaanites? Pause right there, just for a little historical note. The book of Joshua is all about conquest, right? They conquer the promised land. But at the end, Joshua said, there's still some areas of resistance that you're going to have to root out. He says, I'm dying. I've cashed in my chips. I'm through. But you've still got some areas of resistance to root out. God will help you. Go do it. And so this is what's being referred to. They're kind of saying, well, we don't know who's leading, so who should start this work? Can, you know, finish up the mopping up operation. Verse 2, the Lord answered, Judah is to go. I have handed the land over to him. Judah said to his brother Simeon, come with me to my territory, and let us fight against the Canaanites. I will also go with you to your territory. So Simeon went with him. When Judah attacked, the Lord handed the Canaanites and Perizzites over to them. They struck down 10,000 men in Bezek. They found Adonai Bezek in Bezek. Now, Adonai means Lord. So this could simply be the king of Bezek, the Lord of Bezek, the mayor, if you want one. Whoever's in charge, whoever's got the grand poobah hat, that's him. They found Adonai Bezek in Bezek, fought against him, and struck down the Canaanites and Perizzites. When Adonai Bezek fled, they pursued him, seized him, and cut off his thumbs and big toes. Adonai Bezek said, 70 kings with their thumbs and big toes cut off used to pick up scraps under my table. God has repaid me for what I have done. They brought him to Jerusalem, and he died there. The men of Judah fought against Jerusalem and captured it. They put the city to the sword and set it on fire. Afterwards, the men of Judah marched down to fight against the Canaanites that were living in the hill country, the Negev, and the Judean foothills. Judah also marched against the Canaanites who were living in Hebron. Hebron was formerly named Kiriath Arba. They struck down Sheshai, Ahiman, and Talmai. From there, they marched against the residents of Debir. Debir was formerly named Kiriath Sefer. Caleb, who was of the tribe of Judah, said, "Whoever strikes down and captures Kiriath Sefer, I will give my daughter Achish to him as a wife." So Othniel, son of Kenaz, Caleb's youngest brother, captured it, and Caleb gave his daughter Achish to him as a wife. When she arrived, she persuaded Othniel to ask her father for a field. And as she got off her donkey, Caleb asked her, "What do you want?" She answered him, "Give me a blessing. Since you have given me land in the Negev, give me springs of water also." So Caleb gave her the upper and lower springs. The descendants of the Kenite, Moses' father-in-law, had gone up with the men of Judah from the city of palms to the wilderness of Judah, which is in the Negev of Arad. They went to live among the people. Judah went with his brother Simeon, struck down the Canaanites who were living in Zephath, and completely destroyed the town. They named the town Hormah. Judah captured Gaza and its territory, Ashkelon and its territory, and Ekron and its territory. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father and our God, you have taught us and shown us in your word that you have formed your people into teams, that you believe in teamwork. Through Jesus Christ, we learn how important teamwork is. It is how you created the family. It is how you created the church, and it's how you created us to be a part of a team that works together. Empower us to learn this lesson from him in Jesus' name. Amen. So Judah learns to work as a team. Now, I'm going to give you something that, well, a bit of information about the people of Israel, this kind of information that only an economist or a treasurer could love. I'm going to give you statistics. But it's okay, I drew pictures. In the book of Numbers, there are two censuses. There's a census before the 40 years of wandering and a census after the 40 years of wandering, okay? So they took a census, they wandered 40 years in the wilderness until that whole generation died off. And of course, the new generation rose up. How did it turn out? Did they experience a gain or a loss? Well, you can barely see it, but they experienced a very slight loss, about 0.3% by actual numbers, for those of you that love those actual numbers. Judah, you can barely see it, but they actually experienced a mild increase. But take a look at Simeon. In fact, let me blow up Judah and Simeon. Wow. They lost well over half their people. By the way, this is not a nose count. This is a fighting forces count. This is an army count. Okay? These are males from 20 to 60 who can serve in the military. So you can see that while Judah had a slight swelling, Simeon had a devastating, crushing blow. As a matter of fact, the number of the people of Israel would have actually increased if you take Simeon out of the reckoning. It was pretty devastating to Simeon. And so at the beginning of this passage, we see the people without a leader. Joshua has died. Who's in charge? You know, when Moses died, there was a ceremony. I preached on it. There was a ceremony putting Joshua in charge. You know, there was meals, there was gatherings, there was Moses saying, "This is the guy. You listen to him as you listen to me. He's in charge now. I'm dying." And Moses went off and died, and Joshua gave an order, and everybody followed suit. And Joshua died, leaving who in charge? Nobody. What followed was the Dark Ages. Success without succession is failure. Tim was saying just at the beginning of the service, everything is for now. Joshua's success was for now. If he doesn't put someone else in command, what is it? Lost. So Judah and the other tribes actually went to God and says, "God, well, we're kind of, you know, confused. What are we supposed to do?" And God graciously gave an answer. "I want Judah to go and take charge." What's amazing here is that we start to see in the book of Judges a whole change in attitude. If you read Joshua, it's very much all of Israel doing everything. Israel does everything. Now in the book of Judges, we start to read about individual tribes and what they did. You read, hear about Judah and Simeon, but then you read about Ephraim, Asher, Dan, Manasseh, Zebulun, Naphtali, and all the stuff that they do. God chooses Judah to take the lead. And of course, ultimately, if you know the story, Judah ultimately does take the lead because the king comes from Judah at the end, King David. This is the great lesson, folks. You know, we're planning to have a business meeting right after the service. We're going to work on the budget. And are we going to sit around and determine what we think is best? Or are we going to follow the example of Israel here? One of the few times they actually got it right. They went first to the Lord. "What would you have us do, God?" That's our first step. You remember the video where the athletes saw a man being benched, sent out of the gym. And did they act in defiance of the coach? Or did they act in concert with what he had taught them? You see the point? Did they go off on their own and do something? Or did they say, "Coach, this is what you told us to do. You told us we're a team. You told us when one suffers, we all suffer. Well, one is suffering, and I've chosen to suffer too because I'm part of the team." And so was he. They followed the coach's principles. They did what the coach told them to do. They learned it maybe better than the coach did. Seek God first. Follow God's principles. Adhere to God's word. First step, always. But notice where it leads them. When Judah followed God's word and God's leading, they felt, you know what? We can do the math. Now, there's another factor that needs to be taken into consideration here. At the end of the book of Joshua, tribes or other nations. But Simeon is in the middle of a tribe. And Simeon is the tribe that got decimated. And Judah says, "Simeon, I don't need your help, but I want it. We're a team. We're going to work together." So Judah graciously extends a hand to his ailing brother. He says, come with me. We're going to work together. I'm going to help you. You're going to help me. Did Judah need the help? Probably not. God had already promised them, I've delivered the Canaanites into your hands. Go for it. No, I'm not going alone. I'm taking my ailing brother and I'm going to help him too. You know why God believes in teamwork? Because God is a team. He's a Trinity. Even God doesn't act alone. The Father doesn't act without the Son and the Spirit. They all are a team. What was one of the first things God created? After he created animals, what did he create? He created a team, which he called the family. It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper as his complement. By the way, the Hebrew, you might be interested in this, guys. The Hebrew for I will make a helper as his complement. The King James Version says I will make a helper meet for him, right? The Hebrew literally means I will make a helper to answer back to him. And a lot of women take that very literally. So don't take that too literally, ladies. But they're supposed to be a team that works together. What is the church supposed to be? What did Jesus do? When he left, he sent the Holy Spirit. To do what? To turn us into a team. To form the body of Christ. Paul wrote to the Romans, now as we have many parts in one body, and all the parts do not have the same function. In the same way, we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Think about it a moment. It's not so much that you're a member of the church, but you're a member of me, and I'm a member of you. And you are members of each other. I often challenge people. When you came into the drive parking lot, did you see the church? I didn't. You know why? Because I was the first one here. I didn't see the church until I saw Boyd come in to make coffee. I didn't see the church until Julie walked in. Did I? What does a team do? A team, what does a team do to its weak member? It's been said that the army of Christ is the only army that shoots its wounded. What a ringing indictment. Well, brothers and sisters in Christ, let's change that. That this is the army that picks up the wounded and brings healing to them. Ecclesiastes 4 says, puts it this way, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their efforts. For if either falls, his companion can lift him up. But pity the one who falls without another to lift him up. When you saw the video, you saw that Mr. Cruz, didn't you? Mr. Cruz stood on the side, and what did he look like? At the beginning. And sisters in Christ, let's look to our wounded fellow brothers and sisters. I saw a great little plaque this week. Never look down on someone unless your purpose is to pick them up. First Corinthians 12:26 says, if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Isn't that exactly what that basketball team said? Almost verbatim. We're a team. We're a family. Let's pick each other up and never, ever tear each other down. But there's something about being a team that can be seen as a negative. Yes, they sought God first, That's the proper team thing to do. Follow the pattern. Follow the scripture. Follow what you were taught. Help the weak. Be the source of strength. But there's something that can happen. You can be forgotten. You can be forgotten. Simeon ultimately was absorbed into Judah. They ultimately disappeared pretty much as a tribe. You don't even hear his name being mentioned for another 400 years of Scripture. He never even gets mentioned again. Yes, I did a search. Your part in the team may go completely unnoticed. Maybe no one will know what you do. You see Pastor Jeff standing at the front. Everyone can see what he does. You see Brother Tim standing at the front. Everyone can see what he does. People come up to read. You can see what they do, right? And your part may never get noticed. And you may be running the generator I talked about earlier. Prayer is the generator of this church. You may be the one in that prayer closet, never being seen, never being noticed, making the whole thing work. That's part of what being a team is. Your part might not get noticed. But none of our parts are supposed to be. Our purpose? To glorify the coach. To glorify God. To give him honor. To make him known, not us known. It's been said that a humble person does not think less of themselves. They just think about themselves less. All of our hearts, all of our minds focused on who's really in charge, the one we go to at the beginning, the one whose guidance we seek. And when he guides, he gets glorified as we obey him. God calls us into a team. And guess what? When the team plays together, if they go to the championship, who goes? Everyone goes. This is a team that is not going to win. It's already won. We are not going to victory. We have victory because of what Jesus Christ has done. Because Christ has died and risen from the dead, we have eternal life. The victory is over. It's all over but the dancing, and that's coming. And let's wait for it. Have you joined the team? Are you part of the family of God?